Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon if you are joining us from the East Coast. Good morning if you're joining us from the West Coast. Welcome to episode 13 of Business and Bites Podcast. My name is Emilio Mejia. I'm your co-host with a man, John Hasman, over here. How are you doing today, John?
Not doing too bad. I'm living on cough drops because I got a cold.
Living on cough drops. Sounds like a country song. All right. So got a good episode for you guys today. We have How to Approach Marketing with CC Robinson from Robinson Productions. So not wasting too much time, let me go ahead and bring her in and let her do her own introduction here. Give me a second. Good afternoon, CC. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me today.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. All right, so let's see where we're gonna get started here. So just let everybody know basically what do you do, not into too much detail, but just, you know, 5,000 foot view.
Yes, so a 5,000 foot view of what I do is I am the founder of Robinson Productions, which is a one-stop marketing shop for businesses. So businesses can come to our company and we really partner with them, helping them, one, really elevate their marketing strategy, but really helping them with all of the pieces and elements that go into elevating that marketing strategy.
Awesome. Okay. Sorry, when we brought on CC, because as you guys know, we try to bring on valued guests that are going to bring more value to your small business, or if you're a decision maker on the decisions that you make within the small business. So today, let's start with a couple of things. Which topic we want to start off first? Do we want to start with how to properly budget for marketing? Is that a good one?
Yeah, I think that's probably the first. That is probably the first step. And I can kind of just open the conversation with a quick stat from a company called Wordstream. So if your business is about under 5 years, you should be spending about 12 to 20% of your revenue on marketing. And if your company is older than 5 years, you should be spending about 6 to 12%. And I think that's a good place to start, because a lot of companies, a lot of clients come to me and I ask them, what's your marketing budget? And they say, I don't know. Or they never thought about it, or they don't have an exact number. And I think that really having a budget for your marketing is going to be the northern star of where you can take your marketing and the things that you can actually realistically do within a quarter or within a year. So I definitely think that knowing your budget is extremely important.
Say that one more time. 12 to 20% of your revenue if you're younger than 5 years?
Yes. And if you're older than 5 years, then it's 6 to 12%.
And if you're older than wow. Okay. I have to give myself a pay cut and throw some more funds into the market.
Yeah. So look, if you're a $600,000 business, that looks like that's about, what did I see? I just had it a second ago. I think it was $5,000 or $6,000 a month. Just to go to marketing?
You know, there's a lot of pieces that go into marketing, not only the labor behind the marketing, but a lot of the platforms that you need, you know, your CRM platform, depending on how you break up your budget in your company. Some of it may be technology-based because it's a lot of apps and platforms that you need, but there's definitely a lot that goes into, you know, building sales for your business. That's what marketing helps with.
Yeah.
Would you say there is a, maybe it changes for every type of business, is there a specific way to allocate that 12 to 20%? Like, would you say it should be more, I'm just going to throw stuff out there, should it be more cold calling, more cold email, but in-person events, SEO, or, you know, do you have your favorites? Do you have, like, these are your top two?
So I would say that it depends on every business, because every business is different, right? If you have a B2C business, which is a business to consumer business, your marketing strategy is going to be completely different than if you have a B2B business where, you know, the people that you're trying to contact are really only available from 9 to 5 and, you know, are working within a company. It can be very different.
That's a good point. I run into a lot of people and we have the conversation and they always ask me, are you guys on Instagram? And we're actually not on Instagram. And you guys can chime in. Both of you can give me your opinion. just as a business owner, since my consumers are not, you know, the regular person, and the people that I'm trying to find in business might be on Facebook and are definitely on LinkedIn. They might be on Instagram, but I don't know. I don't use it. What's your guys' take on that?
So John, do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I think they're on Instagram. Honestly, I think about there's a lot of people of all walks of life on social media. They may not have a huge presence. They're posting pictures of their kids and they're posting pictures of their family and stuff like that. But I think, and even what's weird is I've even heard people talk about how adults over 40 are on TikTok of all places as well. And I think that there's this, the challenge is, this is my opinion, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. You've got to pick a platform or two and do those really, really well. That's how a lot of people get, you know, in the social media world, that's how they do really well. They pick a platform and they own that platform. And then after they've owned that platform and they, you know, built popularity, it may expand. But you see people who are showing up all over the place. They're like on TikTok today making videos, and then they show up everywhere else because they go viral. So I think you just have to pick a platform beyond LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is a different animal in itself. And then, you know, and go from there. We do a lot of cross posting because we're using a CRM that can do that. So we're kind of doing all of it except for TikTok.
Oh, me too. Except for Instagram, but me too. I'm doing the LinkedIn, the Facebook, and mine actually does the Google business profile as well. I just let it happen.
Yeah, I think there's two sides of that, right? I think there's a piece of, yes, most people are on Instagram, but you really have to look at the intent as to why people go to certain specific platforms, which I always say to my clients, you know, pick two platforms, kind of like you said, John, to really own. But those two platforms that you pick are very heavily dependent on your customer behaviors. While you may have your customers on Instagram, when they go to Instagram, are they really looking for cybersecurity and technology solutions? No, they're trying to look at, you know, fun things. They're trying to look at cats or, you know, how to organize their house or different things like that. So I think that really understanding the intent behind why people use certain platforms can really help you understand which platform should I be using versus like a LinkedIn, where people go to LinkedIn for work. People go to LinkedIn for their career. People go to LinkedIn for professional connections. So if you are trying to really build a B2B business, LinkedIn probably would be a better platform for you because of the intent behind why people go on the platform, not necessarily just the amount of people that are on the platform.
That's what I was trying to say, but you made it sound like 20 times better. All right. So yeah, I think what I am trying to do is add more shorts, like the short videos to those two platforms, to the Facebooks and the LinkedIns. I think that's what's very popular right now, like the 10, 20, 30 second, very informational type of approach.
Yeah, I've also considered changing my Facebook or Instagram personality to be a little bit more fun, if that makes sense. Like kind of like you just said, CeCe, when you're going to Facebook or Instagram, you're not looking for this nerd talking about cybersecurity. You're looking for maybe something that's more entertaining. So I've considered doing, you know, more of an entertaining side on those two platforms just to try to grab a different style of audience.
Yeah. So there's actually this word called edutainment, where you are educating people as you're entertaining them. And I think that's a great way to do content. I feel like today people are always talking about content. Content is like the buzzword of 2023 and 2024. But really understanding like what type of content are you posting and like how to generate that really good content for your audience. And I feel like a piece of that is having that market analysis. You know, what do your audience want to hear? Not necessarily what do you want to sell them or what do you want to talk about, but what do they want to hear? What's going to benefit them in their lives? And then also, John, a piece to that fun is relatability. You know, it's hard for me to go to a new client and just throw out a whole bunch of marketing jargon. That no one wants to listen to that, except for me, because I'm a marketing expert. But if I break it down and I make it very relatable and I use everyday words that people know and understand, that's a piece of that fun, you know, being able to understand and kind of go along on that journey with the content.
Yeah, it's really good. I agree.
Yeah, we have that issue sometimes, like John said, right? We're IT nerds. That's kind of where we came from. And then one day we decided, hey, we should make this a business and run it. So sometimes we have that conflict of, do we go in there and do we throw IT at them? Or do we talk about how we're helping their business and how we can help them grow their business mm-hmm. without all the IT jargon and mm-hmm. terminology? Yeah, took a while to do that. What do they call it? Put our sales hat on. And take our engineering hats off. It took me a while to be able to, you know, tweak that to where it works properly.
Yeah, and I would even say, you know, listen to your customer. I'm a very big customer advocate. Like, I'm customer obsessed. I feel like, you know, in order to have a great business, you have to have a amazing customer experience. And take those words that customer are using and, you know, spit it back out to them, maybe even telling them the correct terminology, but using mm-hmm. the words that they're already using to kind of guide that conversation is a great way to loop them in.
I agree. Okay, so with that said, why don't we go ahead and shift gears a little bit? We've already touched on some things that I think are essential to the foundation of marketing, but why don't we shift and you tell us, what are the key marketing things that we should have in place? I know you already mentioned a little bit about the budget. What else are like the, you know, these are the, I don't want to give it a number, but what these are like the things you have to have or you definitely should have that maybe create the most impact?
Yeah. And I'm not going to go in any particular order, but I think I'm going to definitely talk about the first one that you guys already talked about, which is the CRM. And I'm going to couple CRM with good data. Because a lot of times my clients have a CRM tool that they're using, but the data isn't good. The emails aren't correct. You know, people's names aren't spelled correctly, or they just don't have the actual data. They don't have the phone numbers or things like that. So having a CRM platform where you can actually manage all of your consumer data and really build that journey as well, because that's CRM stands for customer relationship management, for those, you know, listening that don't know. And that's exactly what that tool is meant to do. It's meant to automate the way that you build a relationship with your customer. It's meant to give them a better experience from a customer point of view, because let's say you know their birthday and you send them an email, happy birthday, you know, get 20% off or something like that. Or you know they're coming up on their 3-year anniversary of being a customer with you, and you celebrate that with them. You can't keep all that information in your phone or in your head, even though people think they can. You really need a platform that can organize and leverage that data for you as well. And in order to be able to leverage the data, you have to have good data. I would say, you know, checking your data at least quarterly, cleaning it out, making sure you're getting rid of duplicates, you have, you know, accurate emails, you have accurate phone numbers is really important.
All right, so properly managing our CRM. I think you're right, and I suck at it as well. I'm not very good at all the marketing things, but like we like to say, or what we like to practice is better done than perfect. So I've definitely been trying and making strides to it. I actually added like a calendar entry, like every morning, you know, we're working in the CRM for at least 30 minutes to an hour. I don't know exactly the order that I should be working on stuff in there. I usually try to see if I already have like my newsletter out for that month, then I won't worry about that. But if I haven't, I'll focus on that. And then I'll focus on the social media postings for like the different platforms. And if I started a campaign, but definitely things that I have to work on there.
Yeah. And I would also say, like, looking back at the data as well. I think when we're in the hustle and the bustle of every day, we're kind of just using the platform to get, you know, our information out there, kind of using it in our day to day. But another piece of the CRM that's really supposed to be helpful to business owners is the analytics part, is the reporting part. So running those reports, what email performed the best this month and why? You know, did you run any A/B testing? And, you know, what was the results of that A/B testing? Really being able to look at those statistics, because while marketing is a lot of creativity, and that's one of my favorite pieces, it's a lot of analytics as well. And you have to be able to read those results and read those reports to understand how to do better in the future. Otherwise, you're kind of just guessing.
Is there such thing as like CRM coaching? Like, is that something some people can go and find? I assume, right?
So I wouldn't say there's an overall CRM coaching, just because there's so many platforms and all the platforms work differently, but most of the platforms do have, their own type of coaching, series that you can take, like on YouTube or on their, actual website. But I would also say, you know, working very closely with the CRM platform that you have to be able to give you that one-on-one training as well, or really bringing in a marketing company such as Robinson Productions, because one of the things we do is not only do the implementation, because a lot of people don't understand that implementation piece. You really do need to know what you're doing there, right? You shouldn't just be throwing fields in and kind of making up reports as you go, but it's really important to make sure that piece is strategic. But then we also do a training piece where we train your entire team on how to use the platform. And the reason why that's important, especially if you have a sales team, is because you can have the best CRM platform with the best implementation, but if your sales team is not using it, it's no point.
Well, that was going to be my point. And this is where we're probably both guilty, right, Emilio? Is like, in order for a CRM to work, you really have to be in it every day. You really have to be adding notes to it. And you have to be utilizing it to keep you on track. And what I'm learning about marketing is it's about the long haul. And the long haul means daily activity. Not, you don't just kind of watch it do its thing. You have to be working in it to keep up.
Yeah, and that's definitely a struggle for us. And backstage, Cece and I were talking about this, John, I think before you came on, and it was just the balance of the, am I working on the business or am I working in the business? And a lot of times, you know, we've been instructed, you and me specifically, to work on the business, but marketing at the same time is in the business, right? Because you're in that marketing role. So yeah, it's definitely been a juggling act for us, we can say.
Yeah, I noticed that with a lot of clients and a lot of past clients as well, which is why bringing on a marketing team can really be helpful, because that marketing piece is kind of really taken off of your hands, and you can really work, like you said, on the business to be able to, you know, do the things that you need to grow the business without being overwhelmed with like the mundane task of like making sure your emails are set, making sure your SMS messages are set, making sure you are building journeys and different things like that.
Can the average marketing agency cover everything? Do they cover an amount? So I'll give you an example. Let's say that my revenue is 100K a year and your recommendation is 12 to 20%. So for that 12 to 20%, is that covering everything I should be doing? Is that cover some of what I should be doing? Should we split the task, like my marketing agency does a couple and I do some things? Or what's your view on that?
So it really does depend business by business. One thing I will say is you don't want to take all of your marketing budget and put it into a marketing company, because there's going to be other elements that you're going to need to pay for as well. So as a marketing company, if you're like, hey, I want to run ads, I can do the keyword research for you. I can set up the ads, but then you then have to pay that platform to run those ads. So I think that that's a common misconception is people want to dump all of their marketing dollars into a marketing company when you really need to allocate some of those funds to the platforms that the marketing company needs to leverage, you know, the marketing campaigns that they're running. And then as far, you also asked me about, you know, how should the work kind of be split? And I always think that it's really good to partner with your marketing company, right? Like, we like to be partners with our clients. They really see us as a part of their team. Why? Because if I'm doing your marketing over here and then you are just doing your own thing over here, we're not working towards the same goal. Even though we want the same thing, we're not working towards the same goal. So I think that being as involved as you can with your marketing company will only help with the success that you see.
I completely agree with that. And I think John resonates with what I'm about to say. When we come in, we like to be the strategic partner, right? On the IT side. If you're trying to grow your business in a certain way and I'm trying to help you manage and grow your IT in a certain way, and if we align those two, they can help, right? I'll give you an example. Right. You have a task that takes you 15 clicks, let's call it, right? And that takes somebody a time of 30 minutes. What if I can get that down to 5 clicks and it takes them 10 minutes, right? And now that allows you to produce more in a day or something like that. But if I'm just the guy that you call when something breaks and you don't involve me in decisions or in how the business is growing or some of the operations, then we can't help you there. So I do see how you say that the things should align and that you should be on the same page. And it just allows the relationship, I guess we can call it, to you know, be a lot more productive.
Yes. Well, I think it's the same as IT, right? Like I said, somebody that, you know, the average IT spend is should be 5%. And they went, you want us to pay you 5%? And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you think about software costs and you think about licensing and you think about tools and you think about computers and all of those things, it ends up adding up to 5% potentially. But I think marketing's the same way. Like you're adding not just a firm, but you're adding, what does it cost for your CRM? If you're on HubSpot, it's expensive. what does it cost to do ads? What does it cost to get literature for going to events? All that stuff is all within your marketing budget. And so you're doing your best to allocate out, like, what are your priorities? And I think, I mean, my experience with marketing is some of it is proven, some of it is trial and error based on your location, your business, all of those things. And you spend, I can't tell you how much money I've spent on random stuff that didn't work. And I ended up just exiting out and doing something different the next year.
I got some of those. I think I threw some money at like Facebook ads. So, you know, when you post something, it's like, hey, boost this. And for some reason, you're like, this is a great post. This is the best post I've ever had. Let me boost it. And then you boost it. And $50 later, you're like, that did nothing whatsoever.
Well, like I've done things like put my ads at a golf course and on benches. And early in my business, I put my logo on shopping carts. No, what it did is it made everybody who shopped at that store who knew me said, hey, I saw your face recently. So there's some brand recognition. I think this is, and I'd love to hear your opinion on these different things too, CC. Like one of the things I've long said in marketing, you have to know what the tool is for. And what I mean by that is some tools are for leads. Some tools are for brand recognition so that people remember who you are. And so how do you differentiate? If you're in a growth stage, where do you allocate your money? I think that's a really good question. Are you allocating it towards brand recognition or direct leads? Where do you put your money to get the most out of it early?
Look at you, podcast hosting. That was a good question.
That was a good question. And I don't think, so like I said, you know, every business is different. So I don't think there's a one answer for all businesses, but I do think there is room to put efforts in both, right? And before you kind of mentioned, you know, some things are kind of like luck of the draw. Like, is it going to work or is it not? And I think that recently in marketing, we have found a lot of ways to strategize what we are doing, but also see very quickly if something working. And determining what that goal is of that campaign, right? Like, do you want the goal to be to just spread brand awareness? Because if people can't see you, they can't purchase from you, they can't do business with you. Or are you trying to actually take those people that have already seen you and convert them into leads? And what a lot of business owners tend to forget is having a customer is a lot like dating. You can't meet a customer, say, hi, my name is, and do business with me. You know, you really have to nurture them. And a lot of those nurture pieces come with the type of content that they see on social media, seeing you at multiple events. And so sometimes the campaign that you're doing is achieving both, but you really want to focus on what is that goal that you're trying to achieve and make sure that every step of the way you have some type of KPI to determine, is this working? You know, you want to determine, is this working before you get to the end? If you have a campaign and it's focused on brand awareness, is the brand awareness working? Like, are we actually increasing our social media engagement? Are we actually increasing the amount of emails that we have on our email list? Using really specific key performance indicators to determine, is this working for my business before I just run the whole campaign?
Yeah, that's true. And I think, sometimes the misnomer or whatever you want to call it is that you start marketing and it's going to like work within a month. And, or you do something that's brand awareness, thinking it's going to give you lead results when that's not really the case. Your goal, like great example, Chambers are in my mind, they're not direct lead creators. They can be. But their brand awareness, you're showing up to an event, shaking someone's hand and getting to know people. But the chances of you getting a direct lead, unless somebody's like, holy hell, I need you in IT. Like I just clicked on something or my world's falling apart. Most of the time, you're just getting people to know you and you're just creating brand awareness about your brand. So you have to go into those types of events or those types of things just knowing that they have some things have a longer turnaround than others. And then all of marketing takes a long time.
Yes. Yeah, marketing is, you know, building that relationship. And I kind of have two pieces to that. One, I think you can be doing lead generation and brand awareness at the same time. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're going to a trade show, you're doing brand awareness because people are being able to see your banner. They're able to see your logo. We know that helps, you know, people being able to see your business, see your color, see your logo, see you multiple times. They're able to kind of recognize you. But also the lead generation piece comes into maybe everyone that comes to your table signs a form. And what you do with that form becomes the lead generation. Like maybe you send them an email series. So I think you can be achieving both at the same time. And then just another piece that I wanted to mention is marketing is not sales. I think sometimes those get very confuddled a lot of companies go to marketing companies expecting sales. And while marketing has a very heavy indirect impact on sales and sometimes a direct impact on sales, it is not sales. It is meant to support your sales team in pushing your product or your service.
It's a very good point. And it took us a while to learn that as well. It took us a while to learn a lot of things on the sales and marketing side. Like, as I mentioned, you know, our background was the engineering and operations side of things. With that said, I have a question, and we touched on this briefly, Cece, but I want your take on it. Is there such thing as too late? I'll give you an example. I go to the networking event and I meet you in, I think, late January or very early February. Let's say I got leads there and I haven't touched them. Is there such thing as it's too late to touch them now?
I wouldn't necessarily say too late. I think that the way that you engage in them will be different based off of the time span. So like if you reach out to them 48 hours afterwards, you can say, oh, hey, it was nice meeting you at this event. If you're reaching out to them 3 months later, they may not even remember that they went to that event. So maybe it's just an email, you know, giving an introduction of your business and what you, what your service is and how you work, and maybe, you know, a customer story or something of that nature. So I don't think that it's ever too late, but I will say, one, the quicker you can do the turnaround, the better, because those leads are still warm. So like, there's a difference between like a warm lead and a cold lead, right? So if you're doing that 48 hour turnaround, that's more of a warm lead. If you're doing a turnaround 3 months later, that's turned into more of a cold lead.
It's a little lukewarm at that point. You're muted, John. Sorry.
Hate when that happens. Make sure you use the word recently, because that'll solve all of it. Because, you know, your idea of recently might be different.
Yeah, that works. That works. All right. Just want to run that across, because I think that's the predicament I'm in at the moment.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, one of the things we do with all of our leads when we get them is we immediately stick them in a campaign. So like, if I shake someone's hand at a marketing event, if you're seeing this and you shook my hand recently, you're probably in a marketing campaign already. And you're getting...
Sorry, John, again. There you go. Nope. I'm not getting any audio, John. I'm not getting any audio. Sorry. Cece, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about this, guys. No, I'm not getting any audio, John. All right, we'll give John a second there to go ahead and get his mic up and running again. Yeah, so actually, that's a good idea. That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you. I feel like on the CRM side, I was doing things like, all right, I'll just wait for like the monthly newsletter and then I'll do the social media stuff. But I think John just touched on something as, when you meet somebody, you know, put them into one of your campaigns. What is a good time for that, Cece? What would you say is your recommendation? Like a week out?
I would say 24 to 48 hours after, especially if you're talking about an event where you met someone at, you really want to send that follow-up as soon as possible. While it's fresh on their mind, they remember your face, they remember what they talked about with you, and then they see that email, right? Because latency is very important. You know, you want to make sure that the time from when you meet someone and first engage with them to that follow-up is as close as possible, because the further it gets away, the more they kind of forget about you. So kind of like to John's point, making it automated just makes it so much easier. It's really hard to keep up with those things on a manual level. So if you're manually, you know, entering in emails or creating emails for every event, you may not get a chance to do that every time. But if you have an automated email that goes out, like a template, you just change the name of the event, that's a lot easier to get sent out 48 hours after an event rather than if you're creating it manually.
Got it. So quick question. So reaching out, like we just met, and then putting them on a campaign, should those be different? Can putting them on a campaign reach kind of substitute to the reaching out to them?
Well, how did you get the information if you didn't reach out to them or if they didn't reach out to you?
So let's say I met them at a networking event today. And then after that networking event, I just put them in a campaign right away. And then they're going to get an email within 48 hours. But it's not the, hey, I met you here. It's more of a, you know, maybe my campaign's talking about why to not use consumer emails, right? Why to not use Gmail.
Yeah. And to that, I would say I'm going to go back to the dating analogy.
Got it.
So when you first meet a customer, you don't want to hammer them with the information in your industry. This is why you don't do this, or this is why you should do this. This is why you should purchase my product. You really want it to be like, it was nice meeting you. You know, maybe we can do a follow-up, or would you like to read one of my recent blogs? Having that connection to how they met you in that first email or that first message is really important, because that's how you're creating and building the relationship. If they just get an email about, you know, why you shouldn't use a Gmail account, that's not really connection. You know, like, they may not really connect that email with the person that they met. And then you're kind of not really nurturing that lead in the correct way. Hopefully that made sense.
Got it. Yeah, I got it. John, you with me again? Nope, I can't hear anything.
Sir. I know. It's technical Tuesday. Technical Monday. Right. I don't know what's happening.
You need an IT company? I know one.
I know. I got to get my IT department.
Really good IT company in South Florida I can refer you to.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Yeah. So I think when it comes down to, like, part of what we do is you really have to learn how to kind of read the room, if you will. And you might find there's like two or three people you want to reach out to. And I think it depends on how you run those conversations in those marketing or in those chamber events, right? Like if you talk to somebody and somebody just says, yeah, hey, nice to meet you. And they start talking about sports, put them in a cold, like a cold email or warm email campaign where they're just getting, you know, some like really short, basic information. But if someone says to you, like in IT, oh yeah, you know, I spent all week trying to fix this stupid issue and I can't get it figured out. There's a really good reason to call somebody. Like, I think it really comes down to, you kind of have to read the room and it's going to change based on each interaction. Because I've run across people that I've just called up. Hey, I remember you saying this when we saw each other, you know, a couple of days ago. Do you want some help? And you let them decide whether they want, you know, to move forward.
And that's that sales piece, you know. And that's where I say, like, it gets kind of confuddled as to what's marketing and what's sales. But marketing is, you know, finding the event, having the marketing materials that you need to go to the event, whether that's a flyer or a business card, having that campaign set up afterwards that maybe they go into 5 days after you put them in the CRM. But the sales piece is having the emotional intelligence to say, I may need to call this person instead of email them. Like, this person seems like they're a really warm lead. Let me give them a call the next day rather than just, you know, popping them in an email campaign. So I think, you know, going back to letting marketing really uphold your sales strategy and your sales process.
Oh, very, very good points. All right, let's go ahead and shift to our third topic here. Marketing tips that you can implement into your business today.
Yes, and I'll actually kind of loop this in with some of the foundations since we kind of got a little off.
I know you touched on a lot of those, so yeah, I know a lot of those are going to overlap here. No problem.
Yes, so I talked about, you know, the CRM platform, but also branding foundations as well, like making sure that you know your target audience, making sure that you have brand consistency, that not only you have a logo, but that you have a brand guide. A lot of my clients don't really understand why they need a brand guide. You know, they're really focused on revenue generating, but not really understanding, like, what does a brand guide do for me? But really having that consistency throughout your brand, no matter where your brand is promoted, is really important. That's how you create that brand recognition and make it stronger. So really making sure that you have those brand foundations is something that you can implement today. And then I'll also just say having a marketing plan is really important. I know so many clients that are, you know, making a lot of money in business, but they don't have a marketing plan to the end of the year. They are just going with the flow, you know, going to events as they come up, and really having that marketing plan and strategy for the year and then breaking it down by the quarter is going to help you best utilize that budget, especially if you're working with a small budget, right?
Don't insult the podcast host on their own podcast. Don't talk about our marketing. Don't talk about how bad our marketing is on our own podcast.
No, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus or anything, but, and it's common, you know, a lot of businesses don't plan their marketing. But that's how you get the strategy piece. And that's how you make sure things are working. And that's how you leverage what you did in Q1 to what you're going to do in Q2. So my suggestion always is take a day, 3 hours to a day to really focus on what is my marketing strategy for the next quarter. What type of emails am I going to send out? What type of campaigns am I going to run? What type of events am I going to go to? And that way, you know, even if it is an event, if you find an event and you and it's 2 days before the event, you can't really plan, oh, what's going to be the campaign that I send them afterwards? Or what can I take to the event? Can I take any giveaway items? You're not going to have enough time to plan that. But if you know 4 weeks in advance, if you know 6 weeks in advance, this is the event I'm going to, and this is my follow-up plan, it makes that process a lot easier. And to be honest, a lot less expensive too.
Yeah, that's all good. It's part of the reason why we have this show, right? A lot of our listeners and the people consuming this material, that you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I'm definitely a victim of this, especially, you know, you said marketing is not sales. We didn't know that at the beginning. To us, it was sales and marketing was kind of, you know, if I see somebody and they say something even remotely close, like I'm trying to like almost close them on the spot type thing, you know, like, you know, we don't know that we have to, you know, certain amount of touches and, you know, market to them like this and maybe not like how you market it to the other person. So I definitely resonate with a lot of what you said there.
Yeah, and you know, going back to that CRM, it really helps with the sales piece because you're able to put in, you know, like I said, someone's birthday is coming up, or you're able to put in, we talked about, you know, their kid's soccer game or something like that. And you can follow up on things like that because I think another piece that we don't talk about often is people do business with people that they like, you know, because people don't like to believe that, right? They feel like, oh, well, I have the best product or I have the best service. Well, people like doing business with people that they like. So getting to know people and being able to leverage that CRM to curate relationships with your customers can take you a really long way.
Okay, let me interject real quick because we got a live question. Hold on. Will Castro Jr., which he's also a IT business owner that's in one of our business groups, and he just asked this one. What do you do when you're calling potential leads and you're not landing any FTAs? FTAs is what we call first-time appointments, says CC. You're going through your scripts, you're sounding more original, but still not getting anything. I've been doing this for 3 or 4 months. I hope you're listening, Will, because we're about to answer it.
Yes. So the first thing I would say is, are you contacting the right leads? Are these the right people? Because if you are continuing to contact the same type of people and no one is actually booking that first time appointment, you may not be contacting the right people. And that could be in a space of maybe you're not contacting the right roles of people. Maybe you're not contacting the right types of businesses or industries, but really understanding, like, is the audience that you're targeting, are the people that you're calling even the right target audience for your business? And then also maybe adding in, so they have actual campaigns that you can set up for what we consider like cold leads. So maybe you called them, they didn't schedule an appointment, or maybe you called them twice, they didn't answer, but you can put them in a campaign that nurtures them where they're at. They're not a warm lead, they're a cold lead. So you put in certain nurture items to really nurture that lead. So that's a way that you can do that as well.
All right, and a quick follow-up to that. How does using a CRM work? I'm sorry, how does using a CRM for workflows help when you're calling as well?
Let me read that question one more time. How does...
If it's coming from our group, they're probably talking about automatic workflows. Automatic, like, that's what I'm assuming it is. They're talking about within a Go High Level, which is what we're using. They have an area called workflows, which is generally automatic. Like, if someone signs up for something on your website, they automatically get into a campaign.
Yeah, so I don't really, I don't think that the automated workflows will really help with the calling per se, but what it will help with is making sure that you're keeping up with that communication. So if you are, usually CRMs have a place where you can put notes, or you can even say, like, call this person, this is what we talked about. And that is helpful because, one, if you're switching sales teams, or if you're switching a new person into sales, they're able to pick right up where you left off. This is the last time they spoke to them, and this is the last thing that they spoke about. They're really able to kind of finish building that relationship very seamlessly. But also, if you are the same salesperson, you're able to not really keep all that information in your head, right? You're able to write that information into the CRM and build on that information as you're talking to them. And then maybe also have strategic decisions as well. So if you call someone three times and they don't answer, you may call them the fourth time because you just lost track. But if you're keeping it in the CRM, okay, I've called them three times and they're not answering, we need to pivot. Like, we don't need to call them a fourth time. We need to pivot in a way that we're engaging with them. Maybe we need to email them. Maybe we need to send out an SMS message, or maybe we need to put them in a nurture campaign.
If you're one of my vendors and you're listening, don't call me a fifth time. Thank you. No, kidding. Thank you very much for that. I'm excited because those are our first live questions. So thank you, Will, for participating with us today. Let's see. All right. So we're almost wrapping up. This is where we would usually tell our guests that they are free to leave, but Cece has agreed to stay with to stay on with us for our IT tip of the day. All right. So our IT tip of the day, or IT and cybersecurity tip of the day, is for businesses to not use consumer email services for their business. And I'll start with some stories just recently that I've encountered here. I've been at a couple shows and I'm collecting cards or talking with people. And I see that a lot of people are still using like Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo. And while at the very surface, it might not seem like it's much of an issue, maybe when you're starting up, but once you're you have revenue coming in, this puts you at risk. If you lose access to a consumer-based email, it's very, very difficult to get back into it. Uh-huh. Because I can go and create an email right now that says, I'm CC Robinson at robinsonproductions@gmail.com. And there is no way that CC can tell Gmail that that's not me. There is absolutely zero way that she can convince them that I'm not CC at Robinson Productions. So now let's say that for some reason I have a copy of CC's email list or client list. I can start emailing all of them and say, hey, now next time you send me a payment, change, I can just do all sorts of things. So I'll go around the table and get everybody's take on it. John, if you want to go first on that.
Okay. I'm passionate about this because it drives me up the wall. Here's what drives me up the wall the most. And I might piss some people off, and that's okay. If you're a doctor, a chiropractor, a dentist, a financial planner, private financial planner, and you're using a Gmail account, it's completely unprofessional. None of those free accounts meet HIPAA. None of those free accounts, they don't meet any requirements for your industry. Stop it. It's so crazy. And here's what happens to me. Same thing with web designers. I get emails from fake web designers all the time of a Gmail account. And I'll sometimes send them back an email that goes, hey, I don't really deal with unprofessional people with crappy Gmail accounts. Like, it is literally a turnoff for me, especially when it comes to dental practices and chiropractors and all those places who use free accounts. I will, unless I've got a really close connection with you, I have a couple of friends that still do it. I guess they don't listen to me. With the exception of them, I generally do not do business with people who have a Gmail for their business.
Cece, I just don't.
I'm actually very passionate about this as well. It's extremely frustrating. Because I just think that people don't understand the value of not having a Gmail account. And coming from a marketing perspective, the aesthetics make me cringe. it's like going into a job interview and like you have on sweatpants. How can people trust you when you are using a Gmail account? It's just like John said, it's not professional. Also with the high rates of scam these days, you really don't know if it is a scam or not. So you're probably not even going to get the feedback that you're looking for when using the email. But then the third one that really grinds my gears is most platforms, CRM platforms, you cannot link to a Gmail account for a good reason because you're not supposed to be using it anyway. So you have to have a domain account in order to run mass marketing emails. You cannot run mass marketing emails off of a Gmail account. So I just think that that's a really key thing to note as well. And the other thing I'm going to say is with scaling your business, the moment you add someone onto your business, your Gmail account is no longer scalable. Like, yeah, it's not a scalable way to run your business. What are you going to have? Like, the Robinsons one, the Robinson Productions two, Robinson Productions three. No, right? You have to have Google's name at your domain.
I see it all the time. People who are like,
I'm laughing because you're saying no, but I see it all the time.
Yeah, we do. We literally see it all the time where people are like, Jimmy at Jimmy's Construction at gmail.com, Sally at Jimmy's Construction at gmail.com, stuff like that.
If I'm approached by a business and that's what they're using, before we even sit down at the table, first thing is we have to move to a corporate style email system. Yep. And if that's a non-negotiable for them, then, you know, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Let's shake hands and let's part ways. And, you know, hopefully one day we'll meet again.
I just had a client who had all Gmail accounts and they had a corporate email too, but their old Gmail accounts were being used for key operations and they had a falling out with one of their employees and she wiped everything. We could only get back the corporate stuff that we were protecting.
Yeah.
I've
gotten business with the outfall, the aftermath of what happens when you use this.
Yep. Yep. So drives me up the wall because I see it all the time. And I think that when you see, it really bothers me when people in professional services or medical are doing it. People who are really supposed to care about your data are using Gmail accounts or Hotmail accounts or, you know, Comcast accounts. And here's the thing about it. If you're just the one person or two person shop and we're like, as an IT company, we're too big for you and we're not a good fit, it's not that expensive to get a domain account. It's like 12 bucks.
Five.
So, yeah. Or five. Yeah. Even. I mean, like,
email only $5. And then your domain for the year is $20 a year. So $20 a year and then $5 for Microsoft. That's it.
So think you're making a really bad business decision over like $150 a year or less.
Something like that.
Like, sorry about this. There's like some guy speeding by.
No problem.
Yeah, it was loud. I had to have my windows open. So all the traffic people. But I think it's just one of those things that you really have to think about how people are going to perceive you. And if you're trying to sell a really professional service and you're on a Gmail account, at least for me, it makes me kind of think twice. Maybe it's because I see it all the time and I'm in a different industry. But if I see a dental, oh man, it's like, dude.
It's so easy to set up. It's going to take you like 10 minutes. It's not even going to take you that long to set it up.
Right. Yeah. So it's one of those things that is a pet peeve. And then also we can't, as a cybersecurity company, we can't protect those accounts.
Yeah.
Like we can't add additional layers of security on them. We can't monitor them for, you know, out of country traffic or logins. There's a lot of things we can't do with those accounts that we can do when we get into the professional realm. So there's so many reasons that you shouldn't do it.
Agreed. Well, all right. So we're coming up on our 55 minute mark. It's been a great interview, great podcast episode today. Cece, if you want to let the listeners and the consumers know what you can provide for them, go ahead. Give you a couple minutes to promote your socials, platforms, business, your favorite pet dog food, whatever it is you want. Go ahead.
Thank you, Emilio. Well, if you guys liked what I talked about today, you can definitely book a consultation with me and my team at www.drpcreatives.com. And we'll be more than happy to learn more about your business and really give you a elevated marketing strategy to grow and scale your business.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Yes. Thank you for having me. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to have you again.
Yeah, I told you.
Marketing worlds collide.
Yeah, love it.
And another episode once me and John have a little bit more marketing under our belt so we can make the level, the question be a little step above, challenge you a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is still a really good conversation. I think a lot of people probably got some good tidbits, because I think a lot of the, you know, marketing hurdles that you guys are having are, you know, everyone's having them. A lot of businesses are having them. They're very common.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just remember, it takes a little while, and you have to be diligent. I think that's the biggest thing that people struggle with. So awesome.
All right. Well, thank you guys. And this wraps up episode 13 of the Business and Bites podcast. You can catch us on all the podcast platforms within the next 24 hours. Anything else, John?
No, I think that's it. We'll have this out early this week on the podcast platforms. If you're watching this and you don't have time to sit in front of the computer, we'll have it on Apple Podcasts here probably by Wednesday or Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Awesome.
See ya.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.